Welcome to How to Build a Tent, a podcast about how to make you successful. Thank you for listening, sharing the show, watching the show. Hope you had a blessed weekend, got to get refreshed, spend time with the family, and just be fully charged to be successful this week. There is so much going on in the news, the trade talks with IPOs, and a bunch of other things that it's going to be just an action-packed week. So I hope you stay tuned to every show or download every show. I know you don't stay tuned to a podcast, you download podcasts. So hope you download all the podcasts for this week because it is going to be action-packed. I hope your portfolios survive the rocky week last week, and you are fully regrouped and have a strategy to take a hold of all these stocks. Man, there is a lot of opportunity out there. We'll get to that in a second as well. Before we get into that, we are part of the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Go over to fightlaughfeast.com, put in HTBT in the memo field, get this sweet mug, and you can drink along with me, and you'll get a bunch of other benefits, and you'll become alongside of us to proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life. There's so many great shows, there's so much great content that's exclusive to club members, and you get a bunch of Fight Laugh Feast merchandise as well. And it's just a total blessing, including the Proverbs from Toby. That thing is amazing. The Shotgun Worldview series. I can go on and on, but I won't because I want to get into the show. If you have any questions for me, you want to reach out for any reason, you can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. You can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. Make sure you're subscribing to see the show, watch the show, sharing the show. And also you're going to get updates about when we're going to be rolling out our exclusive subscriber-only package when our website rolls out. I'm really excited about that as well. That's going to help you be successful as well. And you're going to be able to see my portfolio, and you're going to be able to see an extra exclusive content for that. I haven't really decided to narrow that down yet, but that's going to be really great. I want to have that not necessarily be just more content for you to fill up your day, because I'm sure you have tons of content already throughout the day, but I want to give you tools, give you a bunch of different things to help you be successful in your finances, your career, just like in the show. So stay tuned for that. Make sure that you're following me on the social media site so you'll get the latest and greatest on that. This weekend, before I get into my points, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my life and some things that I learned. The first thing is, because I'm moving from the island to the East Coast, as a lot of you know, I'm moving to Florida. I have cars. And our family has cars. And I don't want to move the cars from an island in the South Pacific to Florida. So I'm selling them and I'm looking to buy a new car. Now, traditionally, because of interest rates, I have always just bought a car a couple of years old and then just paid a little bit on the interest rate, because you, in the long run, after you amortize the rates and you see how much you actually pay in interest, you combine it, it's actually a lot better deal because you don't eat that depreciation. But I was doing the math on some deals they got going on for, I'm gonna buy an Explorer. I'm a big Ford guy. And I was doing, what are we doing? We were doing Explorer and we're doing the Platinum, and they have a bunch of deals right now because the 2020 is gonna be coming out. And so they have like $10,000 discounts, $8,000 to $10,000 discounts, and 0% financing for a new car. And I was looking at the interest rates there, and they're like in the high threes. I have a really good credit score. I was gonna say good interest. I mean, I guess if you have a good credit score, you're gonna have a better interest. But I remember back in the day, it was like 0.99%, 1.99. But I guess in the last couple of years, interest rates have really gone up for buying used cars. So if you are in a situation like me, when you're looking at a car, go look up online an amortization table where you can put in the price of the loan, the year loan, the interest of the loan, and cost it out based on what you are gonna pay for a used car versus a new car. And yeah, you're gonna take a hit on a new car early on, but if you plan to have that car for a long time, see how much it's gonna cost over the life of the loan. And you might be surprised. It might be more advantageous for you to get a brand new car. and you'll get a brand new car, and they'll have a lot more options instead of having to search for a used car and just like settle on a color because it has the options you want, or settle on options because you got the color you want. You have a more freedom as well. So that might be a nice thing to think about as well. And over the weekend also, I got asked a question, should we buy Uber? I had some people emailing me, texting me, hey Matt, should I buy some Uber now Monday when the market's open? And my response back to them was, I don't know. It's an IPO. Those things are very volatile. I mean, everyone coming at Uber launched their IPO Friday and it ended lower than it started. And it was like listed at the low end of the range that everyone thought it was going to be. And Lyft took a nosedive for the next couple of weeks. That might happen with Uber as well. But I mean, Lyft, in fairness, has recovered last I saw. But Uber's down 7.62% to, I think it's $41.43. It closed on Friday. And we just don't know. And like, Uber doesn't make money. And that is like a big warning flag, I would think. I mean, in the tech world, there's you get like this mysterious exemption when you don't get to make money, but like, who knows? I mean, it's going to be a volatile company because I think the market needs to figure out what it's worth. And Uber is different in Lyft in the way that Uber has a lot of dominance already and Lyft is up and coming. And I don't know if that's going to help Lyft and hurt Uber. So I really don't know. I mean, if you want to just play some, you know, play the slots basically and give it a shot and try to buy some, hey, maybe it'll work out. The only IPO that I have any interest in right now or own any stock in is Zoom. And that was because they were profitable. And I did a show on the CEO's interview coming off of that. And I just really loved him. I loved the management of that company. So I'm a big believer in that. So I have some in that. But other than that, I have not picked up any interest in any of those other companies for now. I'm gonna wait and see how it plays out. It's a lot of interesting things that can happen. You've got to remember, just besides the whole operations of Uber and Lyft, they're battling special interest groups with the taxi lobby, unions, and those kinds of things. And for Uber, they've grown. They've grown a lot. Like, so you're basically paying for that. Now, do you think they're going to grow exponentially more? Do you think Lyft's going to grow more? I mean, what's the opportunity cost? There's probably a lot safer bets that are going to be more likely to give you positive returns than Uber right now. And that might change in the future. I don't know. I kind of stay away from those IPOs. Usually you want to own them before they launch and then sell because they usually end up higher. But in this case, they didn't. So that was an interesting story. For those of you who are wondering if you should pick up some Uber when it's down, I think there's a lot of actually better value right now out there that are solid companies from this whole trade war week last week, the bloodbath week, where there's going to be discounts and there's opportunity to buy other stocks or even ETFs and mutual funds that took a hit that I think are a great deal right now, a great price to pick up. So that's my Uber and investing segment of this show. The next news that came out last week, Friday, is a U.S. budget surplus for April narrows 25% on spending increases. That's the headline, and it sounds kind of weird. But anyways, there was a record surplus in April. Now, normally it's because of taxes and things like that, but also it was just a good year. We took in a lot more funds. I always say revenue, but it's not revenue, it's our tax dollars, so it's receipts. Revenue implies that someone is paying you something out of their own free will, and a business transaction is not. They are taxing us. So, but this is what the article says. The Treasury Department said it recorded a surplus of $160.3 billion in April, as receipts rose 5% while spending jumped 27%, mostly on the timing shift of having one more business day, which is interesting. The Trump administration projected in March that this year's deficit will hit $1.1 trillion, up from last year's deficit of $779 billion. The administration is projecting the deficit will stay above $1 trillion for four straight years before starting to decline for the rest of the decade. Two things here. One, we are spending way too much money. We've talked about it before. You've heard it before. I'm sure a lot of you listen to conservative podcasts who talk about it. That spending is the problem. It is not the tax rates. It is not tax cuts that are the problem. We see that the receipts rose 5%. There was tax cuts, and yet the receipts increased. So the first point I want to hit from this story is, one, we have a major spending problem, and it doesn't matter how much you increase receipts. If you are always increasing your cost, your expenditures, of way more than, this is four times, five times. It's five times more than the increase in receipts. It doesn't matter how much money you take in. If you're spending five times as much as you take in, you're going to have some problems. And this is true in every area of your life, your finances, your business, your kids' allowance. They're gonna go broke really quick if they're spending more than they get in allowance. It doesn't change in the global economy. It's the same. Now, I know there's that theory that we've talked about before, MMT, Modern Monetary Theory, where they say you can spend as much as you want, but that's just not true. And you can go back and listen to that episode if you like. And the second point I want you to take from this is the other side. Yes, we got to stop spending so much money. We got to stop spending more than we're making. It just seems such common sense when you say it, right? I mean, that's it. I don't know what's the mystery and why people don't get that. But I also want to say is that cutting taxes actually made us receive more money, receipts. We taxed people less and made more money. Now, that tells me two things. One, that we are at a point of that Laffer curve, you know, that talks about at some point, you are not gonna make any money because you've taxed 100% and no one's gonna work. And so there's a point where you are taxing too much, where if you reduce taxes, you'll make more money because it's at that like perfect point where people are incentivized enough that they are going to be willing to work and the taxes aren't discouraging, the tax rate isn't discouraging. And if anyone tries to tell you the taxes aren't a discouraging behavior, then ask them why people are taxing cigarettes so much. And in liberal states, why are they taxing gasoline so much? It's to discourage behavior. It is common knowledge that the more something costs, the less demand there is for the product. And that is done by just because the cost of the product, the value of the product, or simply because it's artificially inflated. That is the cost by taxes. But where was I going with this? Oh, that we're at a point in the curve where we are still taxed too much, where if we reduce taxes, we're gonna see revenue continue to go up because we are having a tax rate that is hindering value production. We're hindering the production of the American economy. And the lower we go, until we start seeing those tax rates go down from tax cuts, then we know that we can keep going down. So why do big government people want to raise taxes? If we are making more money by cutting taxes, why wouldn't big government people be on board with that too? They may not agree with cutting spending, but you would think they would want to agree with us and get more money to help fund all of their programs. It's because it's not about income. It's not about receipts. That's all you need to know. It's the reason that the left, the liberals, they want to raise your tax money is for control. It's for wealth redistribution. It's not that we can do more with more taxes because you get less money. It's that you won't have the money. And it doesn't matter if we get it. If no one gets it, that's fine, but you won't have it. You rich, greedy, successful people, you need to pay. And it doesn't matter if the whole economy and the whole society does worse, but you're gonna pay, and that's what they want. Very scary mentality to have. It's a very bitter and angry mentality to have, to wanna punish people at the expense of yourself. It's like, I'm going to take you out even though it takes me out. That's the people that are in office right now. Very scary. So we know from this story that, one, that lowering taxes does not mean that we are gonna lose receipts, and two, it means that we have a lot of tax reduction left to go where we're, or not a lot, but at least we can go more and see receipts still go up where society will benefit because along with increased performance to get more receipts, we're also adding more value to the economy and people are getting rewarded that way. It's a good sign when the government receives more money and it's because of tax receipts or tax rates being cut, because that means there's that much more value in the economy as well. Not that I'm all for all these tax cuts or anything like that. So I would be remiss and a terrible business show if we didn't talk a little bit about the China stuff, because I mean, this is going to impact a lot of us. And there is a Bloomberg video that I want us to take a look at. I'm gonna break it up into three sections and then we'll discuss it.
Talks started to break down last night. They continued talking into the day, but left it open.
Yes, well, the day started with Trump tweeting, saying he's in no rush for a trade deal, of course, before the markets opened. So he sort of set the expectations for the day that, you know, there was, if anyone had any shred of an idea that there might be a deal announced today, that wasn't going to happen. I think really what is clear to us now is, well, there wasn't a breakdown in the talks. You know, the stakes are higher than ever. We've heard from our sources that the Trump administration has said to China, look, you give us a deal in the next 3 to 4 weeks or we're going to move ahead with this threat that Trump gave us on Sunday of imposing an additional 25% tariff on $325 billion of Chinese goods. And why is that important? Well, that would be virtually then every import into the U.S. from China would be hit with tariffs. And that's really where you're going to see the Silicon Valley types be hit. You know, that'll be your iPhones, your toys, your TVs. That'll be everything, unless there's some exclusions. So the stakes have really risen today.
All right. So what can we get from this? One, if you are looking to buy a new TV, new iPhone, new computer, you might want to do that now before prices go up. Two is that the Chinese are really starting to get the message that they are not going to be able to bluff us out of backing down, that Trump means it, and that he is going to continue to leverage these tariffs. And as you might know, in your investment portfolio, it has some short-term impact to us as investors, as people in the market as well. And that the timeline is in 2 or 3 weeks. So you might want to think about hedging against that. And if you don't know how to do that, to hedge against the market going down, talk to a financial advisor. I really would recommend that, just to get your affairs in order, to get your long-term plan in order. They can help you formulate a plan to retire 30, 40 years down the road. Hopefully that's where you're at if you don't have that strategy yet. And then also, the other thing that I learned, and I just realized this from this clip, is that the people on TV really just are reciting what everybody knows and they're just telling the news. But if you want to see who's the smart commentators on TV, the ones that actually know what they're talking about, don't ask them what happened. Ask them what you think's going to happen. And it's funny because you see in certain clips, commentators, they'll have no idea and they'll go back to just knowing what the facts. And it's really, they're just like other reporters reporting, pretending to be experts. But if you really want to know who the experts are, have them make an opinion or a guess or a comment about the future that is unknown. Then you'll know if they really know what they're talking about.
Now, one of the president tweets from this morning, talks with China continue in a very congenial manner. There is absolutely no need to rush, as tariffs are now being paid to the U.S. Treasury by China of 25% on $250 billion worth of goods and products. These massive payments go directly to the Treasury of the United States. Now, slight correction, these payments do not go to the Treasury, as Trump claims. They're actually passed on to the consumer. So, Isaac.
Actually, it does go to the Treasury. I think what she was getting at is that the tariffs are paid by us. And I try to talk to pro-Trump people about this, and for some reason they don't get it, or hopefully they do get it and they just understand what Trump's doing and they're actually intelligent people. But a lot of people that are saying like, oh, you're making China pay these tariffs. China is not paying these tariffs. Well, they are paying it in a sense that people are going to start producing their products somewhere else and their economy is going to get hurt. But the actual tariff is being paid by us, the consumer. All of the taxes that are put on companies for imports, for production, if we ever have a value-added tax, I hear the Democrats throwing that around sometimes and some crazy Republicans. All of those taxes are passed on to us. If you don't believe me, the next time you go get gas, look on, at least this is true in California, that look on the gas machine, or the pump, I guess is the better way to say that, and it'll give you the breakdown of how much tax you are paying in federal and what you're paying in state taxes. It's a ginormous amount of money. And then look at your pay stubs. What taxes are you paying on that as well? We always pay the tax. The end user is always the one that pays the tax, either indirectly through the tax being added to the total or inflated in the price of the product itself. The consumer always pays the tax.
Yes, and I've got a chart here in the Bloomberg. We see the trade deficit has narrowed between the US and China in the last several weeks, the last several months. However, where does this leave us?
The message that the government wants to send is that U.S. investors, U.S. corporations should think twice about increasing their investments with China. And it seems like the Trump administration, I don't think Trump himself maybe thinking this through subtly, but other people in the Trump administration want the U.S. to start decoupling its economy with China. And this would certainly be pretty devastating for a lot of people in the tech community on both sides of the Pacific. But there is a real desire among some sectors in Washington, D.C. to see the United States not isolationist, but far less reliant on China.
This last clip is the reason I wanted to use this clip altogether. And this is really gonna be important for business owners, like he said, in the tech industry in Silicon Valley and any other areas that are relying on China for production. There is a thought, and for some good reason, because you gotta remember, these geopolitics are more than just economics, right? If a country is gonna take over your country, steal all your technology in the long run, like China wants to do, then it doesn't matter how beneficial your money and your wealth is in the beginning if they're gonna end up taking it all anyways. So there's that. But as business people then, we need to understand that there possibly are going to be moves made by the administration that aren't gonna be economically beneficial to us. That is raising these tariffs, keeping these tariffs, maybe even banning products. Who knows, but there is the sentiment in the Trump campaign, I don't think it's really a mystery, but it's good for us to understand this, that wants us to decouple from China and go other places. And we see, I've talked about this a few times the past couple weeks about different companies already starting to do that. Make plans to do that yourself too if you're relying on China. You have to diversify. You can't be relying on them. It's gonna be better, in my opinion, for the long term because the Chinese are our enemy and they're a threat to us. But you need to understand that where this is going, this isn't just simply about a trade deal. It's about the Chinese stopping their rise to dominance and their attacks on Western society, on the United States. And there's more to it than just the economy. So if you look at it just solely from an economic standpoint, you might be confused because it won't always make sense from an economic standpoint. Tariffs never make sense from an economic standpoint. But there is a lot more going on to play than this. So plan for it, think about it. As you're thinking of strategies, as creating businesses, as your career, the whatever business you're at, the businesses you own, think about other alternative ways to hedge against this happening if things get worse, where we are not going to be able to use China as much and other countries and seeing maybe it's on the moon like Jeff Bezos. And then also look for opportunities in this shift of the economies and how you can benefit from it. Now let's go out and be successful. God bless.